A conversation with Charlie Summers, Republican for U.S. Senate. I'm Keith Shortall, and we continue our series of Your Vote 2012 candidate interviews today with Charlie Summers. Summers is currently Maine's Secretary of State and has served as New England Regional Administrator for the U.S. Small Business Administration and as State Director for Republican Senator Olympia Snowe, whose seat he would like to fill this fall. But first, he'll face a primary challenge from five other Republican candidates. And Summers is hoping that his message, focusing on job creation, lower taxes, less government spending, and energy independence, will resonate with GOP voters this June. Join the conversation, email questions to talk@mpbn.net, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. A conversation with Charlie Summers, Republican for U.S. Senate. This is Maine Calling. And you can also give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. That's 1-800-399-3566. Charlie Summers, welcome to the program.
Keith, it's great to be here.
As we heard in the open, there are six GOP candidates in this primary. Why is Charlie Summers the best choice for Republican voters on June 12th?
Well, I think I can really bring some experience to the table, whether it's my time running small businesses in Bangor and South Portland and Biddeford, whether it's my time in the Maine State Senate, serving on the Taxation Committee and the Fish and Wildlife Committee, my time working for Senator Snowe for 9 years as her state director, later as the regional administrator of the U.S. Small Business Administration, working with small businesses that, to try and get them the counseling and training and the access to capital that is necessary for their success. And then certainly my time in the U.S. Navy Reserve, I believe, has given me more of a worldview than any of the other candidates, and my time in Iraq, Afghanistan, working for the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, former chairman, Admiral Mike Mullen, traveling with him. I feel as though that I have sort of an inside view of the Pentagon and the way the Pentagon works, as well as the military, and not just in terms of supporting the military, but actually being a part of that military and understanding the issues that affect the men and women that are coming back. And then, of course, my time as Secretary of State.
Among Republicans, we see some common themes, lower taxes, less government spending, invigorating the economy, energy independence. Those are all sort of shared amongst them.
Sure.
Is it the experience that you're highlighting here in this primary?
Well, certainly, like I mentioned, my experience, I think, I have the depth and breadth of experience to be a force, if you will, from the moment you enter the United States Senate. And I believe that that's what is expected of people who are sent to the Senate from the state of Maine, going back, from Margaret Chase Smith all the way to today to Senator Snowe, Senator Collins. Those are people who've made a great difference in the lives of people in the state of Maine, and I believe that I can do that, and my experience has given me that opportunity.
Another difference among some of the primary candidates is where they sit on the political spectrum.
Sure.
Some are further right than others. Where do you put yourself?
Well, I think a lot of that just depends upon the issue. You know, I think on some issues I can be seen as being conservative. Other issues, maybe not so much. But, you know, I think that at the end of the day, what is important in the next United States Senator is somebody who is willing not just to stand up and do what's right for the state of Maine, but do what's right for the country, because I believe the country is headed down the wrong path, and we need to right that.
What can Congress do, if anything, to invigorate the U.S. economy?
Well, I think the first thing we can do is stop the level of spending that you're seeing. I believe that it should be rolled back to the 2008 levels and much like the Paul Ryan budget to flat fund for a period of time, because we have to get our debt under control in this country, because if we don't, it is going to ruin the country. And I believe that certainly my time working at the Pentagon, I've seen areas of duplication. My time with the with the SBA, I've seen programs that are duplicative. They duplicate what other programs do, and those are the areas to begin to look at to cut the waste from government.
There are some inherent conflicts here, because on the one hand, you you want to make sure we're not overspending. But then along comes the question of, say, at Bath Iron Works, whether we need to invest in the next generation of destroyers, because senators who represent the state are supposed to protect that. How do you balance that?
Well, I think you have to ask yourself, if you're talking about our national defense and how important that is, to make sure that our in this case, Navy, has the most up-to-date and the most efficient equipment that they possibly can have. And certainly Bath Iron Works, Kittery Naval Shipyard, Saco Defense, Pratt & Whitney, Applied Thermal Sciences, those are all businesses in southern Maine that make a huge difference in our national defense. Being someone who has served in this generation's wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, and like I mentioned at the Pentagon, I think I have a pretty good handle and a pretty good sense of what is important for our national security, and I believe that all Americans would agree that our national security must come first and foremost.
Monique, our listener, writes in, wants to know, many worry that Republican lawmakers in Washington are radical social conservatives. Do you feel you'll be forced to vote strictly along party lines by the party that could, you know, make or break your career, even if you don't necessarily agree with some of those?
No, I don't think I'll be forced to do anything. And, you know, again, I think you have to judge the issues on their merits and many times have to make a very difficult call. And I've done that in the past and be willing to do it again.
Affordable Care Act. Good idea? Bad idea?
That's not something I support. I think it's a very bad idea. I think it takes patients or individuals' choice away from them in terms of their doctors, and it creates just another huge bureaucracy and adds about $1.7 trillion in spending, which we simply do not have. I think there are a couple of things that we can do to bring the cost of health insurance down, and the first is to allow small businesses and individuals to band together nationwide to get group discounts on health insurance. I've been a longtime supporter of association health plan legislation, which is what that is. I mean, what it really does is it allows an individual or a business to do the same thing or purchase their health insurance the same way they do their life insurance, homeowners insurance, from the lowest cost provider anywhere in the United States. The second part of that is to make the cost of health insurance for everyone, businesses and individuals, 100% deductible from their federal income tax. I believe that that is a more efficient way economically, and it's something that we could do tomorrow and begin bringing the cost of health insurance down tomorrow.
Social Security and Medicare, sometimes they're lumped together. But let's take Social Security first. What changes would you make in order to assure its continued viability over years, or should we?
Well, I think that Social Security over the years, over the decades, has morphed from a program that was designed to provide a supplement to an individual's retirement years to covering every kind of disability or any other kind of malady that someone may face. While I think that the issue of disability is an important one, it should not be funded through Social Security. It should be funded through Human Services.
We're in a torrential rainstorm here,
yes.
And while we would be wise to know the difference between climate change and unusual weather, do you believe in climate change, that it's happening, and is it man-made?
Well, no, I don't think climate change is man-made, and I think that a lot of the discussion over this is really not based in science but more in opinion. Do I think that we need to be a good steward of the environment? Absolutely, because I drink and my children drink the same water, and we breathe the same air as everyone else. And as Mainers, I think we have a special responsibility to make sure that our state it remains as pristine as we can possibly make it. But at the same time, there are certainly ways to allow people to work, you know, in our environment, in the woods, drilling for oil, for example. There are ways to do it in an environmentally responsible way, and we have both an economic and national security responsibility to allow that to occur.
Well, let's talk about energy. What can Congress do, again, if anything, to lower the cost of energy?
Well, I've said this for a number of years, and that is, first of all, to begin looking for our resources here in the United States. Recently, I read a report where in Colorado they found one of the largest oil reserves in the world, and it's something that could last for almost 1,000 years. Now, is that to say that we shouldn't try to make our modes of transportation more efficient? Is that to say that we shouldn't look for alternative forms of energy? Of course not. But I think that, even if we were to go to complete green energy tomorrow, that wouldn't do anything to bring the cost of energy down and to help someone get back and forth to work right now. I was in Presque Isle a couple of weeks ago. At that time, gas was $4.22 a gallon. We need to do something for the working people of this state, and I think that starts with drilling here in this country for oil and gas, more nuclear power, more coal power, and certainly looking to alternative forms of energy, but we can't be looking exclusively one way or the other.
Would you support offshore oil drilling off the coast of Maine?
Yes. Yes, I would.
Keystone Pipeline.
I think the president made a dramatic error in not allowing the Keystone Pipeline to go forward, certainly because we could be bringing oil into this country. But if you look at the jobs and good-paying jobs that would have provided, and certainly the tax revenue from those jobs would have been good for our economy. But, it goes back to making tough decisions and tough calls, and I believe that that is what is required. I don't think the president made the right move.
What about subsidies for alternative energy, if you want to call it that, solar, wind, which are not give the highest returns on investment that other forms currently do? But would you support subsidies even at the beginning to get them going?
No, I don't think so. I mean, you look at the subsidies for wind power right now, it's 30%. The federal government rebates 30% back, and that's right off the top. I mean, that's coming out of the taxpayer's wallet, and I don't believe that that's correct. In in Maine, I believe it's a 2.1 or 2.6% rebate per kilowatt hour, and that's just to try to make it palatable, try to make it sustainable. And if it doesn't make sense, and that meaning spelled C-E-N-T-S, I don't think that we can afford to do it. We have to establish priorities. Again, I think that it's important to look, but if it's not making sense, if the payback is 50 or 60 years, how is that going to help someone today? How is it going to make us safer today? And I would argue that it doesn't.
Join the conversation, 1-800-399-3566. That's 1-800-399-3566. We're talking with Charlie Summers, Republican for U.S. Senate. You can also send us an email, talk@mpbn.net, or tweet @MaineCalling. And, of course, you can also post a message to our Facebook page. To social issues, do you support the 1973 Roe versus Wade Supreme Court decision?
Well, I've always voted pro-choice because I think there are times such as the life of the mother or incest or rape when abortion may have to be something that would be considered.
Is that going to be a major issue in this campaign?
Well, whether you're talking about the abortion issue, whether you're talking about other social issues, they all always come up because they are of great concern to many, many people. But I think that what people are truly concerned about is how they're going to send their kids to school, how they're going to pay their mortgage, how they're going to find work here in the state of Maine and nationally. And that really is what the primary focus of almost every person I talk to is.
Should birth control be covered as part of a health insurance, even for those businesses or entities that find that morally objectionable?
I don't think that the federal government should force mandated coverage on, in this case, I think you're probably referring to the Catholic Church. And if the Catholic Church does not want to provide that, I don't think that they should be forced to do that. You know, if you look at one of the reasons that health insurance is so very expensive, it's the number of mandated coverages. We should be able to provide a bare-bones healthcare plan that the consumer that can then, through a cafeteria type system, pick and choose the coverages that they want.
Do you support or oppose same-sex marriage?
I think that marriage should be between a man and a woman.
1-800-399-3566. That's 1-800-399-3566. And let's go to South Portland. And Steve. Hi, Steve.
Hi, good afternoon. As you know, I live in South Portland. Secretary of State Summers, we met at the grand opening of the Maine Military Museum and in Portland on the day of the caucus. I commend you for your service as Secretary of State and your service in the U.S. Navy as Commander of U.S. Naval Reserves.
Well, thank you very much, Steve. I remember the opening of the Maine Military Museum. It's a remarkable facility, and I hope that all the listeners today, if they have the opportunity to see that, they have really done a tremendous job.
Steve, do you have a question?
I got the email from Kate yesterday that you'd be on the radio today. And I guess I was listening to the conversation, and it kind of answered the question that I had. Years of experience in as Secretary of State of Maine, how you would best use that in Maine's best interest.
Yeah, well, I think we heard that, and you said that very eloquently. So, Steve, thanks for calling. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll share more of your comments and questions. Email talk at mpbn.net, tweet at Maine Calling, or post a comment to our Facebook page, or call 1-800-399-3566. That's 1-800-399-3566. We're talking with Charlie Summers, Republican for U.S. Senate. We'll be right back.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. Coming up on the next On Point, Arizona's tough immigration law goes to the Supreme Court. We'll look at the law and consequences. That's coming up on the next On Point from NPR.
Tune in for On Point tonight at midnight.
The world is busy while you sleep. Get caught up weekdays on Morning Edition. I'm local host Erwin Gratz. NPR correspondents follow events from Asia, Africa, and Europe. And MPBN's growing news staff keeps an eye on what's important here at home. Lou McNally has your first take on the weather, and we hear about business from Marketplace, and there's the BBC News as well. Join us weekday mornings from 6 to 9 here on listener-supported MPBN Radio.
Broadcast of Your Vote 2012 Maine Calling is made possible by listeners like you and by AARP Maine, working to protect Social Security and Medicare. More information online at aarp.org/me. By Garand Marketing and Communications, serving clients here and abroad from offices in Portland, Maine. The happiest people in business. Garand.com. And by Lammert Coffin, celebrating 25 years of delivering strategic legal counsel on issues and opportunities in Maine, with offices in Portland and Blue Hill.
And welcome back. This is Your Vote 2012 on Maine Calling. I'm Keith Shortall. Today we're speaking with Charlie Summers, Republican candidate for U.S. Senate. Join the conversation. Call 1-800-399-3566, 1-800-399-3566. Email talk at mpbn.net, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. You're currently serving as Maine Secretary of State. What do you think of the Citizens United opinion from the U.S. Supreme Court, which essentially limits government on its ability to limit corporate political spending?
Well, you know, I think you begin running a very, very fine line when you regulate how an individual or a business spends its money. And I think that a lot of the corporate spending, you hear a lot of talk about big corporations, big business. But if you think of the state of Maine, 98% of the businesses in Maine have 20 or fewer employees, and fully 96% of those have less than five. So someone who is incorporated because they're trying to protect their assets, they have a small business, I really don't think that they should be limited in their free speech ability, and that's really what it boils down to.
Should there not be sort of any limits on influence from powerful outside forces that throw money at the Congress?
Well, I think what you've seen over the last 20 or 30 years is every time the Congress tries to limit the influence of big money, there seems to be another loophole that allows someone to set up a super PAC or something like that. And I think that really where we need to get in this country is full disclosure, so that we should have a system where every candidate has to have an account with the FEC where all their funds are deposited and their expenditures and their contributions are reported on the internet within 24 hours of receiving them, so that the American people can see where someone is getting their money from and how they are spending that money. I think that would be a far more open system and just very, very plain and simple, so you can see if candidate A is taking money from this special interest or that special interest.
The calls are starting to come in now, but I do want to ask you about U.S. foreign policy and specifically Iraq and Afghanistan. It's a big topic, but I'm just wondering what, with your experience in this realm, have we taken the right course, or what would you do differently?
Well, I think that we would have, regardless who was president at the time, I think eventually we would have found ourselves in a conflict in the Middle East. That's where terrorism is fomented. That's where it springs forth from. And I do believe that certainly since General Petraeus was in Iraq and in Afghanistan, things have taken a turn for the positive there. When I was in Iraq and had the opportunity to work with the provincial reconstruction teams, those are groups of soldiers and civilians who are experts in medical, experts in agriculture and so forth, working with the locals, trying to help them stand up medical clinics, trying to help them with their farming, trying to help them with their small businesses. I think that that is a very effective model, and that's why the surge is successful in Iraq. They're trying to replicate that in Afghanistan, where I have been and visited some of the PRTs there, and it makes a huge difference in terms of trying to win the hearts and minds of people. We're never going to have a democracy in Iraq or Afghanistan like we think of here in the United States, but what we can do is afford them some of the same things that we have here, and that is the ability to feed your family, the ability to have an income, and the ability to live in relative security.
What would you say should be the U.S. position vis-a-vis Iran, the current?
Well, I think we have to be very, very tough with Iran. Iran is when I was in Iraq, most of the opposition that was supporting Muqtada al-Sadr in Baghdad was coming out of Iran, Iran and Syria. And those are areas that we have to be vigilant about, because that is where not only attacks against the United States can come, but to our ally in the Middle East, Israel. We have to stand up for Israel and make sure that, that we have a secure presence there.
1-800-399-3566 to join the conversation. Let's go to George, who is on the road and hopefully being very careful, right, George?
I am.
Okay. Yeah. What's your question, please?
I was kind of curious how Mr. Summers feels about the pumping the tar sands oil through Maine, since he supported the line, or which supported the line down from Canada to the Gulf, and what safeguards would he put in if he does support it?
Well, I do support it because, again, I think it's important not only to our economic security but our national security that we make sure that we use our own domestic energy resources. And I think that there are safeguards in the drilling process, in the transportation process, that are good at this point, and we need to continue to monitor that, obviously. But I do believe that we should try to take advantage of every aspect in terms of our own resources that we possibly can, because every day that you import a barrel of oil into the United States is not a good day, because we are essentially paying those who are fighting against us for this product. And we have found huge natural gas resources, huge oil resources, tar sand and so forth, that we need to take advantage of to try to provide that level of energy to consumers, but also a level of security to our nation.
Yes, but if they propose putting that line through Maine from Montreal, you know, what's your position on that? I guess that's my question.
Oh, I would support that. I would support that.
So you would? Okay.
Yes.
1-800-399-3566 to join the conversation. Let's go to Bar Harbor and Elizabeth. Hi, Elizabeth. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. I had a quick question regarding who is tasked with figuring out what energy sources are a good matchup for our resources here in Maine. I guess I'm reacting to the fact that I was a little surprised when the governor refused to go to the governor's conference, because I was so hoping that he would talk to the governor of both Oregon and New Jersey about the ocean power buoys that are being used off their coast. Apparently these things can generate up to 150 kilowatt hours of energy. And certainly, the coast of Maine is nothing but ocean, and we have Bath Iron Works. And I was a little surprised never to hear that about energy sources in the mix of talk that went on about energy alternatives or using our resources here in the state. I guess I was just curious what you thought of that.
Well, like I mentioned a moment ago, I think that it should be pretty much in all of the above strategy. I think we have to look for our resources here in this country, and if there are alternative forms of energy like tidal power that you're suggesting that are workable and have a reasonable payback period and can provide a level of electricity in this case, then I think that we need to take advantage of that.
it's not tidal power. These are buoys. They sit out in the ocean. I was just curious because I've followed this since they started testing them off the coast of Scotland about 5 years ago. And I was curious as to whether or not anyone in the state is tasked with energy policy stuff that, that allows them to go out and sort of search, you know, either by attending a TED conference or by, you know, or doing that. I'm sorry, that was just my
question. Yeah, I know the governor has an energy front person.
Yeah. Ken Fletcher.
Yeah. 1-800-399-3566 to join the conversation. Charlie Summers, Republican for U.S. Senate. Let's go to Larry in Kennebunkport. Hi, Larry.
Yes.
Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Mr. Summers. I heard you state that you do not support subsidies for renewable energy. I wonder if you could justify subsidies for big oil in light of the record profits that they've enjoyed the past few years.
Well, I'm not sure exactly which subsidies you're talking about.
I'm talking about tax breaks for exploration, et cetera.
Well, if they are exploring and it is a payback and in the interest of this country, and when I say a payback, I mean an immediate payback. I'm not talking about over 40 or 50 years. Then I think, I don't have a problem with that because, again, this country, whether we like it or not at this point, is an oil-based economy. And we can have the discussion about whether we need to wean ourselves off of that and point ourselves in a new direction. But that change is not going to happen anytime in the next 10, 20, or even 30 years. And I think to suggest that we should not be exploring and we should not try to exploit any type of, in a responsible manner, any type of resources that we have, that is really just kind of sticking our head in the sand, and we need to make sure that we have the energy resources that are necessary to deal with the issues that we face today.
Charlie, you can understand how, you know, some people look at this and say, well, why we're not going to give subsidies to fledgling, innovative, alternative energy producers, but we will give subsidies to essentially to oil companies that are making billions of dollars. You know, there's a sort of fundamental problem that many voters have with that.
Well, and I understand, but, you know, again, you're talking about supply and demand. And when there is a large demand for oil, in this case, or gasoline, if you will, then there are bound to be record sales and record profits. That, you know, that's a fact of our economy. And I think that the supply that we have of gasoline and heating oil is critical to our economy now. And to do something to somehow disrupt that, I can't support.
Larry, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. Any reaction to that?
Well, I'm concerned about pollution generated from coal plants in the Midwest wafting into Maine, polluting our air. Many people in this state are having a hard time breathing. I use an inhaler, and I would like to see more energy, electricity generated through wind and other areas and wean ourselves off of dirty coal.
Well, Larry, would you support nuclear power?
Yes.
Good. I do, too.
Well, 1-800-399-3566 to join the conversation. What about the waste, though? Charlie, obviously, this is a big problem. What do we do with the nuclear waste once it's generated, the high level and even the low level?
Well, I think when you consider, for example, the United States Navy for the last 60 years has been using nuclear power and has been able to deal with the nuclear waste. And, you know, we have obviously repositories around the country for that. And, you know, that is a concern. But I do believe that we can handle it in a responsible way. We haven't not built a new nuclear power plant in this country for decades. And you look at countries like France that have dozens and dozens and dozens of nuclear reactors and do so in a very environmentally responsible fashion. And I believe that we can do that.
1-800-399-3566 to join the conversation to Mariah in Bath. Hi, Mariah.
Hi. Well, I was interested in your... Speaking about nuclear power, maybe you know me as an old state rep.
I do. I served with you, Mariah.
Anti-nuke all the way. My daughter lives in France, and they just put a lot of that waste right into the Irish Sea. And here I live, right here in Maine, in Bath. There's a great big high-level waste thing right on the river. But that's not what I was going to call you about, friend. We served together in the legislature years ago. And you were opposed to any of Maine's legislation for gay rights at that time. And I'm hoping, I'm not talking about marriage or anything else. I hope that you have changed your mind about gay rights, because gay people are just like the rest of us. They fall in love, they want to marry, and they take care of a lot of people's children, people who do not want to bother with their children. But, you know, I have a lot of problem with you, and I remember you well. I just think these two things worry me about you. And God knows you might be governor.
Well, first of all, Mariah, it's very
take
nice.
Take care of your cold.
Well, thank you. It's
vitamin C.
Thank you. It's very nice to hear your voice. And, you know, my either opposition to whatever legislation you're referring to, I think someone's private life should remain their private life. And that is pretty much the way I've tried to approach things. I don't what someone has for a private life, in my view, should just remain that.
But my dear old friend, if your private life keeps you from getting a rental.
Well, I don't, and I certainly know that, whether you're talking about the Maine Apartment Owners Association, the Maine Innkeepers Association, the Maine Restaurant Association, the Maine Chamber of Commerce, do not support that type of discrimination, and I think that that is their choice, and they're doing it on their own volition, and that is really, I think, maybe the difference in the approach between you and I.
We're going to have to take another quick break. When we come back, more of your comments and questions for Charlie Summers, Republican for U.S. Senate. Please stay with us.
Beautiful dream. Actor Jack Black is best known for his comic bombastic roles in films like The School of Rock and Nacho Libre. In the new film Bernie, he plays a kindly small-town funeral director who murders a wealthy millionaire widow he had befriended. It's based on a true story. On the next Fresh Air, we talk with Jack Black. Join us.
Busy throng, beautiful dreamer, awake to my song.
Tune in for Fresh Air tonight at 7. Broadcast of Your Vote 2012 Maine Calling is made possible by MPBN listener support and by AARP Maine, working to protect Social Security and Medicare. More information online at aarp.org/me. By Garand Marketing and Communications, serving clients here and abroad from offices in Portland, Maine. The happiest people in business, Garand.com. And by Lambert Coffin, celebrating 25 years of delivering strategic legal counsel on issues and opportunities in Maine, with offices in Portland and Blue Hill.
And welcome back. You're listening to Maine Calling today on the program, a Your Vote 2012 conversation with Maine Secretary of State and Republican candidate for U.S. Senate, Charlie Summers. Join the conversation. Call 1-800-399-3566. Email talk@mpbn.net. Post to our Facebook page or tweet at Maine Calling. I want to talk a little bit about free trade, important issue for Maine. What are we doing or not doing currently?
Well, I think, you know, we need to do everything we possibly can, both on a state and federal level, to make sure that our small businesses have the access to the markets, not only in the United States, but across the world. You know, the internet has changed and technology has changed the way we all do business, and we need to make sure that those markets are open. On the state level, as Secretary of State, obviously I do not set any of the economic policy issues, but I think that in some of my dealings with the consul generals from Israel and various other countries, really working on having an open relationship in terms of economics with all the countries that have diplomatic missions in the United States are incredibly important.
To the issue of taxes and to Gorham and John. Hi, John. Welcome to the program.
Hello. Yes, Mr. Summers, or Charlie, if I
yes,
may.
Yes, of course.
I have to say, you know, I generally vote Democratic. As you were being introduced, very impressed with your background. I thought, gee, you know, I could vote for that guy. But my stumbling block is the no new taxes commitment to tackle our debt. And I just fail to understand and would love to have you struggle with this, is that we as a nation have fought two wars with which we didn't pay for, and Congress voted in the Part D Medicare without at least putting them out to bid, but not paying for. You know, I have to pay for everything I do, and we even make bank robbers pay with no added income to pay back. How do you justify or reconcile this no new taxes pledge? We're going to need to do it to tackle this debt along with increased revenue.
Well,
I'd like
think
to hear your comments.
John, first of all, I appreciate the question. I think the issue isn't whether we tax enough. The issue is one of spending and that and debt. I believe that, you know, to use a phrase that I've heard a lot lately, it's talk about kicking the can down the road. And while I understand your concern, I believe that we have to take a very, very strong stand on the level of spending. I mentioned a few minutes ago from my time at the Pentagon, my time working at the Small Business Administration, you see the number of duplicative programs that we have in the federal and even the state government. And those are areas that we need to start to go into and stop the spending. And you look at the way, you know, whether you're talking about the Affordable Health Care, the Obamacare Act, adding $1.7 trillion to our debt load right now on top of the Social Security issue, on top of our existing national debt, is I just think it's crazy, and we can't continue to tax and spend our way out of this problem. And I think that over the years, you've seen budget agreements that come with some taxes, some cutbacks, and we always find ourselves back in the same place. And you know, I do not want to see the United States become a third world economic power, and I think it's going to take some very, very tough stands from time to time.
Would you support increasing the tax rate for the highest earners, or increasing the tax rate on capital gains, for example?
No, not on capital gains. You've already paid taxes on that money, and then you're getting taxed again. And I think there's a lot of it's seems to be in vogue these days when you're talking about the tax issue to kind of create a straw man or a boogeyman, if you will, that the corporate taxes, the wealthy pay about 75% of the taxes in the country. I think if we went to a fairer, flatter, flat tax system where we were all taxed at the same rate, under a certain or over a certain income level, then I think to me that gets to more of the issue. It's a fairer, flatter tax for everyone involved. And, let's face it, the wealthy, if the taxes go up, then they hire more lawyers and more accountants to get themselves out of it. If the taxes remain lower and stable, then they simply pay their taxes because it's more economically feasible to do that.
John, what do you think of that answer?
Yeah. Well, yeah, Charlie, he hasn't convinced me. I mean, he's given me what I've been hearing. I think it's a responsibility issue. I'm a senior citizen, and I'm willing to pay a little more because I've been brought up and I live my life. I pay for what I own, what I want, and though I may not have been for those wars, if we didn't pay for them, then let's pay for them and start taking responsibility. Let's pay for our medical cost and don't frame the taxes thing around the issue of we can't increase tax and spend.
Well, John,
if
I can say this, I think if you look historically, when the tax rates have been kept low, whether it's going back, to President Kennedy or all the way forward to President Reagan and Bush, we end up with more money in the federal treasury than we've ever had before. But then when we go on and continue to spend, then we find ourselves right back in the same situation.
And I say that, Charlie, I say that's leadership. If you go to Congress to stop that, but let's take responsibility for what we've done, and of course, through the Clinton era and through the Eisenhower era, we taxed at an extremely more rate. So let's work on the responsibility issue as a part of being a leader in Congress.
Thank you, John. I appreciate your call very much.
Okay.
And let's now go to South Portland and Bob. Hi, Bob. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, thank you so much for letting me on. Secretary Summers, you know, I don't think you've mentioned the word ecology or environment once, and I wish I'd hear that more often from Republicans, because you and your kids live on the land and drink water and, you know, all that. I am happy to hear that you're skeptical about industrial wind, but again, I hear just an economic argument against it potentially. What about the incredible environmental damage that Angus King and Maine Audubon, who supported this, are causing to the mountains of Maine, the mountain communities, the mountain ecology, not only blasting away the tops of mountains, but the access roads that are required 40 to 50 feet wide, tens of thousands of trees, carbon sequestering trees that have been gouged away. If these things are fully built out, we're going to have a disastrous, basically an industrial zone throughout the Maine mountains. And why don't you and the Republicans talk about that part of it? Why is it all economics with you guys?
Charlie?
Well, I don't think it's all economics with us guys. I at the beginning of my remarks, I said that, you know, we have to be responsible stewards of the environment. And I mentioned that. Whether it's me, my wife, my kids, we all breathe the same air and drink from the same water source. So, you know, we have a responsibility for that. But I think if you're just talking about, because the question I think was framed about subsidies, and if you're just talking about economically, when you have a 40 or 50 year payback on something, I would argue that the taxpayer is not getting the bang for the dollar that they should. I'm not saying that we shouldn't look, but at the same time, we have to be realistic about our expectations, and we also have to be realistic about what our economy needs, and that is a clean, reliable source of energy. And so far,
about a minute left. Yep. Sorry to interrupt you, but I just want to get to this question. You're hoping to replace to fill the seat by Olympia Snow, your former former boss, who left citing real concerns about the situation in Congress, the sort of the division, the lack of civility of debate. Is that an issue for you, and what would you do to address that?
Well, I think politics is a lot like small business, and small business is all about relationships. And I think that when you look at the 24/7 news cycle that we live in today and all of the things that come with that, there is no time for someone on any side of any issue, Republican or Democrat, to actually thoughtfully think about what the questions are, the issues facing the country, because someone wants a response immediately. Either you're with them or you're against them. And I think that that is probably one of the frustrations that Senator Snow has seen in her tenure in Congress. But I do believe that even regardless of the difficulties and the tenor that you face in the debate, you have to be willing to go there and stand up and try to do the right thing for Maine and America.
Charlie Summers, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Charlie Summers, a Republican candidate for U.S. Senate. Today's program was produced by Jonathan Smith. Our volunteer Scott McAuliffe answered your calls. Lindsay Maynard ran the board. We had additional help from the MPBN web team. You can listen to this conversation and previous editions of the show by visiting mpbn.net. I'm Keith Shortall. You've been listening to Maine Calling on the Maine Public Broadcasting Network.